Greetings, everyone, and before I begin ranting and raving incoherently, I thought I'd tell you about Anchor by Spotify. It is the easiest way to make a podcast with everything you need to do it all in one place. And believe me, if I can do it, anybody can do it. Anchor has tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone. And when you host through Anchor, you can distribute your podcast through listening platforms like Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and even more. It has everything you need to make a podcast all in one place. And best of all, it's free. That's right, Anchor is free, and who does not like free? So if you're interested or you want to make your podcast today, download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. That is the Anchor app or anchor.fm to get started. Hello, one and all, and welcome to another Drunken Car Review. And today, we have for you another electric vehicle. That's right, I'm going to be reviewing for you all today the new Mercedes EQS. A car that, by far, goes against everything I've mentioned before. Now, I've said many a times, and many a times, well, also in these episodes, and to everyone else I've ever met, is that one of the biggest problems I have with cars nowadays is the screens. You see, screens are becoming a bit excessive, especially to the point where everything has to be a part of a screen. The ideal situation is something like RAM, where, for example, it's a big screen, but you still have the buttons and the turn knobs and everything else to operate the general functions of the vehicle, if need be. You don't need to be looking at your touchscreen every 5 minutes just to figure out if you pushed a damn goddamn button. But the problem is, Mercedes decided to take that problem and emphasize it to an extreme, the likes of which I have never seen. I've seen car companies act like they were going to do this, but never has been such a... It's just simply a silly idea as Mercedes had here. The EQS has more screens than I've ever seen in my entire goddamn life. I swear to God. You know what they said? They looked at that car interior and said, middle dashboard, that gets a screen. Right about the glove compartment, that's got a screen. Hey, the turn knobs, that's got a screen. The center console, that's got a screen. Everything gets a screen. The whole entire front of the car is all screens. It's still in the shape of a dashboard, granted. I'll give them that. At least they worked it into the design of the car. But it's just like, what the hell is this? I mean, the entire thing looks like a touchpad from freaking Star Trek Next Generation. I mean, what am I looking at here? My God. Look. There's nothing wrong with having screens or even a lot of them. The problem is when everything is a screen, that's when things become an issue. You see, the problem is there's not a dial or a turn knob or a button in sight. Now, people go, well, it's not necessary, we have the touch haptic. But at the end of the day, we don't know, it's distracting. You try to turn up the heat on the car, you have to look down all the time just to figure out if you turned up to a proper temperature. You have no idea what you're pushing. You have to look down. Whereas intuitively, we feel that button knob, we go, this is where it's at. Turn it, or push it, or do whatever, and we can kind of get a concept of what it is. We don't even have to look half the time. Screens are fine and dandy, but they also are a problem. Another problem with a lot of modern screens, well, overall, they're expensive as all hell. My brother's screen went out in his new RAM that he had, and thank God he had warranty claim on it, because at the end of the day, that thing would have cost him $2,000. Can you imagine how much this entire row of screen all along the front of the dash would have cost? God. But that pales in comparison to the price of this vehicle. The car costs, at base, $100,000. Now, I understand it is a Mercedes, and there are some pretty damn fancy options you can get in this thing. But this thing can almost go all the way up to $150,000. That's the price of a freaking house. My God almighty. And the fact is that this car is just, it is beyond the reach of most people. And I understand that it's a luxury car, but it's doing an extreme nowadays that it's almost becoming comical. Now, overall, the car does look ugly. I can't say anything else about it. It is weird because it's taller than a normal sedan, shorter than a SUV. It's got this jelly bean rear end shape to it. It's just weird. Oh, look at that, folks. See, a better car is pulled from one of those new Corvettes. Anyways, so the fact is that this car is just weird looking overall. The front end looks like it's just sloped all the way around and comes back to, it looks like a big jelly bean from the rear. Why do car companies do this design? I have no flippin' idea, but they do it nonetheless. Now, the car overall power ratings, well, it can range everything from around 300 horsepower to around 500 horsepower, and about 800 pounds of torque at max, and a little lower than that. Capabilities of the car are pretty good, got good range and everything like that. The problem is, again, it's just, I get the excessive amount of luxury you might want to do, but I mean, my God, there comes a point where you look at that and go, what the hell are we doing? I mean, the fact is, at the end of the day, it's an excessive car that will probably cost you an excessive amount of money to maintain. Is it worth it? My mind, no. You can get all the fancy luxury, four-way climate control, seated option, everything, blah, 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 blah. But at the end of the day, it's just excessive amount of everything that, at the end of the day, probably will cause more problems than it's actually worth. Anyways, overall, what I give this car, I give it a out of everything else, because it is just a piece of shit, in my opinion. It's $100,000 worth of crap. Because at the end of the day, that screen's going to go out at some point on somebody, and it's going to cost them about $10,000 to replace on a $150,000 car. Is it silly? Yes. Is it ridiculous? Yes. At the end of the day, it's all pointless. And on top of that, the other big problem is the charging system for Mercedes is not exactly large. There are about 60,000 charging stations, which may sound like a lot. But considering Tesla charging stations don't nearly have enough, and they have over 100,000, is a big problem. You're not going to be taking this car on anything kind of long road trips, that's for sure. Anyways, I suppose that's enough for my review of that EQS. Let's move on to something else, shall we, that's a little less excessive and depressing. Well, probably just as depressing. Overall, the chip shortage has been a major problem and news source for many people, as car companies now struggle to produce vehicles at any rate, or at least they do in the US. You see, overall, global manufacturing actually and cars hasn't produced or been affected that much in places like Asia, or actually, I'm sorry about that, in Europe or everywhere else. Asia and the US, on the other hand, are the only places that seem to be well that put out about the chip shortage. Overall, the chip problem is still a huge issue, but the problem is US manufacturers have definitely not learned to deal with it as many people claim they are trying to do. The fact is that while global production has been plummeting, and production rates on car companies like GMC and all that, or GM and all that, have been abysmal, it serves the fact that at the end of the day, what we're left with is a huge problem. Dealerships can't keep up at the end of the day when you only have 20 cars on the lot, and you can't make enough money to actually support themselves. On top of that, adding the fact that, for example, GM's, well, profitability has plummeted as well. They're down almost 40% overall in profitability ratings. And that's with things going, or supposedly going back to normal in most places. And yet they just can't get chip shortage to produce the vehicles they need. This also leads to another major problem. Obviously, we've all seen the inflation rates skyrocketing through the goddamn roof. I mean, it cost me freaking $10 to buy a freaking bottle of thing of bacon and like $40 to buy a single bottle of cheap-ass Jack Daniels, for Christ's sake. At the end of the day, the problem is prices are going up. And with this chip shortage, it's only exacerbating that issue to an extreme. Most people are seeing that by the next few years, car costs could increase by almost 20%, and that's already including the increase they've had over the past year or two. Car prices are not going to be going down anytime soon. If you're looking to buy a vehicle, well, let's just say it's not a good time to be in the market. The chip shortage also is not planning on, disappearing anytime soon as well. You see, most people put the chip shortage as ending around, somewhere around late 2024. Yep, they're extending this range out for another 2 to 3 years. The problem is that, well, nobody can produce the damn things. Even if you can, crazy places like California are having issues with the union and not allowing ships to dock in their ports, which means that even if there are ships available, even if ships are being shipped, nobody's getting the damn things. So overall, yeah, I don't think it's going to be ending anytime soon. Anyways, I thank you all for listening to this short episode of A Drunken Car Review. Overall, like I said, the car I just reviewed is and the chip shortage is a desperate and miserable situation. But overall, hopefully it'll look up soon, and hopefully car manufacturers can get back to normal production. Do I think that'll ever happen? No, I think it's probably going to go more towards along the lines of, well, permanently having to order every single vehicle you want. Anyways, thank you all for listening. If you like this short episode, well, I appreciate it. Like and subscribe if you do. Anyways, have a great day and a wonderful night. Goodbye.